Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. Welcome to another very informal episode of Paul reading slash talking to you about stuff related to pain, injury, and recovery. Today's members-only post is about probiotics. We're here to talk about whether eating good bacteria can reduce systemic inflammation. The short answer is maybe. But beware of the supplements industry. And the long answer is the whole post. So, probiotics, what are they even? Probiotics are pills full of living microorganisms that, in theory, can improve the health of the larger and more diverse community of wee beasties in our bellies, which can in turn help our general health and maybe possibly relieve chronic pain as well. Fingers crossed. This post explores microbiome science and the implications for pain patients with the sassy skepticism that you've come to expect from the Salamander's domain. But there is no clear thumbs up or thumbs down here. This is not one of those nothing works posts. It's one of those it's complicated posts. The conclusion is nuanced. Let's start out in the fun fact zone here. As large as our community of bacteria is, it's a myth that our bacterial hitchhikers outnumber our own cells 10 to 1. We are not quite that gross. But they do match us one for one. We each have a fully fledged ecosystem in our GI tracts, the gut flora. It's a dense jungle of diverse micro critters. And gut health refers to the health of that ecosystem of thousands of species. Thousands. Let me just correct an error here. I've edited this thing to death before publishing this morning. This morning, a few minutes ago, still finding typos as I read. That's partly why I read. Seriously, half the reason I do these audio versions is because it really helps with the editorial polish. It's amazing the errors that pop out when you read your stuff out loud. Okay, so moving on from the fun fact zone, let's get down to work here. What is the clinical significance of poor gut health? If the gut microbiome gets out of whack, if the circle of life down there gets a bit scribbly, that seems to have some consequences, digestive consequences at the least, gas, diarrhea, constipation, pain, and so on. But in this situation, grumbly guts could be the least of your worries. At worst, poor gut health is actually a driver of disease, of systemic illness, even psychological illness. That's the notorious gut-brain axis. The entire system seems to be affected by the state of the microbiome. More literally than you are what you eat, you actually are what lives in your intestines. That community is part of us. It is we have a very rich symbiosis with the microbiome. The microbiome is you, and you are your microbiome. So it may be impossible to be healthy in general with a muddled gut flora, and that might even be somewhat common, modern diets being a bit of a junk food hellscape. So there's a legitimate science about this and a bonanza of junk science and snake oil. And of course, that's not an unusual combination, a point I forgot to make in the text here. So improvising. In fact, it's almost automatic. The more legitimate, promising science there is about something new, the more there's also going to be junk science and snake oil about it. They really go together. So the amount of junk science, in a way, is kind of an indicator that there's more of a seed of truth there for it to be riffing off of. Junk food is not the only junk that we consume regularly. We also live in an era of absolutely unprecedented bullshit and height. It's an interesting Spoonerism. Bullshit and hype about every conceivable aspect of health. And the microbiome revolution has obviously been a magnet for cranks and quacks. And I'm just going to throw in a totally random aside that crossed my mind here. I didn't write about this either. I listened to a really interesting episode of the You're Wrong About podcast recently about Martha Stewart. And historically, I have not been a fan of Martha Stewart. And by the end of the episode, I was actually thinking, geez, maybe I like Martha more than I thought. Maybe I'm a bit of a Martha fan, even. Who knew? The best thing about Martha that I wasn't aware of, the hosts of the show pointed out right near the end of their discussion, that of all the big influencers, you know, of all the major brand personalities, Martha seems to be just maybe the only one that doesn't indulge in promoting health stuff, which of course invariably includes a bunch of junk. She just doesn't do it, apparently. I don't know, I'm not a Martha follower, so I have no idea myself, but apparently these rational fans of hers say that she doesn't do that. And if that's true, all right, Martha, way to go. Way to buck the trend of the last decade. Good for her. So maybe she's better than I thought. Okay, back on track now. The whole bonanza around what are we talking about? Probiotics. The whole probiotics bonanza has particularly been a boon for naturopaths. This is a profession that was thriving on nutrition claims and supplement sales long before there were headlines about gut health. And great timing. Didn't know this was coming. Just happened at exactly the right time. There's an eyebrow-raising story right here in Vancouver this week about a naturopath who was selling fecal transplants, which is very closely related to probiotics. It's just, you know, it's all the poop bacteria instead of just selected poop bacteria. He was selling fecal transplants that were sourced from family members. And if you're wondering if that means what you think it means, yup, it does. Here's a quote from the article, the CBC article by Bethany Lindsay. Klopp's three nephews were the business's only donors at the time of the complaint and clarified that the lab was in a ground level unit of the building where the boys lived. And of course, the naturopath was claiming that these fecal transplants were curing autism, no less. Because, of course, that's what he was claiming. The legitimate research on this topic so far has mostly been correlative, looking for smoke rather than fire, and preclinical, which means, you know, precious little study of how to actually help people by tinkering with their microbiomes. Lots of study of the basic science and the, you know, the foundations of it, but not much clinical science yet. And yet, despite the limitations of the legit research, many papers about gut health have already very strongly influenced medicine and quackery. But there does seem to be a robust expert consensus that the microbiome is an important part of our health. The question is, can we fix it? Is this stuff ready for the clinic, let alone self-treatment with supplements? Okay, and that's as far as the non-members get. Now we get into the members-only section of the article. We're about a third of the way. Just add bacteria, poop bugs and pills to the gut rescue? Enter probiotics. Let's be clear here. These are actual intestinal bacteria in gel caps, poop bugs in pills. That's why fecal transplants are a thing, because that's actual poop in pills, which, you know, might be more premium or more problematic. It's important to understand that the probiotics aren't quite exactly poop themselves. They're just a major poop ingredient. The theory is that they're like helpful, hardworking immigrants, new citizens that diversify the intestinal workforce, stabilize its economy. They're often described as good bacteria, as though they just cannot help but clean the place up. See also, by the way, in addition to the see also above about fecal transplants, which are very similar in spirit, there's also prebiotics. That's pre as opposed to probiotics. And prebiotics are not bacteria, despite the nearly identical term. They're bacteria food to encourage the growth of good bacteria. It's like getting a bird feeder if you want birds in your yard. What's to stop bad bacteria from eating the food, you ask, like squirrels raiding the bird feeder? Hush now. Don't ask awkward questions. Seriously, I don't know. I do not know the answer to that question. I don't know why prebiotics don't feed many bacteria more or less equally, or you know, why there couldn't be bad bacteria that are just as helped by prebiotics as good bacteria. Then there's a whole thing which I didn't get into in this article, but I will mention briefly now, that this whole distinction between good and bad bacteria is a little fishy, isn't it? I mean, it's probably more complicated than that. Like people, they probably, every bacteria has a little good in it and a little bad in it. I believe that it basically means that good bacteria aren't, you know, it's not that they're inherently good. It's just that they're extra bacteria of the species typically found in large numbers in a healthy gut. The idea is quite simplistic, really. It's like trying to improve the health of a jungle by introducing more monkeys, because healthy jungles have lots of monkeys. But is just add monkeys actually helpful to a sick jungle? Probably not. Ecology is more complicated than that. And similarly, just add bacteria is hardly a guaranteed recipe for gut health salvation either. Less cynically, the bacteria in probiotics are indeed typical citizens of healthy microbiomes, and it's definitely not crazy to think that adding more of them might be a normalizing force. But we've only barely begun to understand how the microbiome even works, let alone how to manipulate it therapeutically. Just flooding your tubes with an assortment of common gut tenants is definitely a bit of a Hail Mary pass. Even if it does work for some people, it's also going to fail for many others, because by nature, the composition of the microbiome is highly individual, as unique as a fingerprint. It's one of the things that makes us who we are, and everyone is different. So, yeah, mileage gonna vary. Probiotic science in general. So I didn't go far into this because it's fairly well established that there's something going on here. Mostly I'm focusing on probiotics for pain, but let's take a quick look. According to the studies, sometimes probiotics do seem to help some health problems. The evidence is generally promising. That is a word that strikes pessimism into the heart of any good science junkie because, as I posted about this recently, quote, a promising treatment is the larval stage of a disappointing one. Very few promising treatments for anything ever actually get validated, and this is, you know, certainly we could all be looking back at probiotics in 20 years and just laughing, because what a ridiculous idea that something, you know, that just sticking a few extra gut bacteria back into the gut, you know, through the mouth is going to make a difference. It might seem ludicrous in time. We might, you know, maybe we'll move on to something better, or maybe it'll just, you know, turn out to be much ado about nothing. But, you know, there's less promising and there's more promising, and the science of probiotics so far really does seem to be on the happier end of that promising spectrum, especially for abdominal and digestive distress like irritable bowel syndrome. So, you know, trouble right where the bacteria actually are, right where the probiotics are actually going. So, you know, that's nice. Not so much for other kinds of pain, though, and that's the focus here, of course. It's right in the name, folks, painscience.com. So let's talk about that. Probiotics for pain. Why would you take gut bacteria for fibromyalgia or back pain or any other kind of chronic pain? Many people with chronic pain do try probiotics, especially if they have unexplained pain. The worse and weirder your pain, the more open-minded people get. So the general idea is that gut stuff seems to drive all sorts of inflammatory stuff, as a well-informed friend of mine put it. Hi, Kay. Basically, we're talking about poor gut health leading to systemic inflammation, and then an even bigger higher vulnerability to many kinds of pain. Inflammation is basically synonymous with immune system activity, and poor gut health is analogous to a chronic infection. It's obviously not exactly the same thing, but it has some things in common. We're talking about bacteria that are growing out of control, or at least not as controlled as they could be, out of control in proportion to other species, and pumping out problematic numbers of chemicals, of bacteria poop. So a complex immunological reaction to all of that is certainly plausible, which is probably how the microbiome affects general health in the first place. And we already know that anything that's good for gut health is probably good for the rest of our health, and a rising tide lifts all boats. That's about as specific as the rationale can get at this time, but it's enough to work with. Using probiotics as a general health tonic is not an unreasonable strategy for desperate patients trying to solve an extremely nasty problem. But it is a crapshoot, make no mistake. So the science of probiotics for pain is very, very limited. I won't be able to cite much evidence on this because very few probiotics trials are relevant to pain. There is some research on probiotics for rheumatoid arthritis, which might be relevant to other common painful problems. If probiotics can calm down the 800-pound gorilla of an inflammatory arthritis, it might also plausibly have an effect on back pain or fibromyalgia. But a 2017 review was a classic more study needed paper. There was a bit of signal in the noise. A common inflammatory biomarker was reduced, CRP, which is the major biomarker used to measure the state of rheumatoid arthritis. But clinically, that was a big meh. Probiotics didn't actually affect the disease in terms of how it was experienced by the patients. The clinical effect was a nothing burger. And then in 2022, the only other good review I found wasn't even really in the promising category. Here's their conclusion. Quote, probiotic supplementation might decrease RA activity with a moderate decreased effect on CRP, but lack of evidence in the study's heterogeneity, that is, apples to oranges data, do not allow us to propose them to patients with inflammatory arthritis to control their disease. Bummer. So, meanwhile, a prominent and authoritative website selling probiotics says, if you have an inflammatory type of arthritis, probiotics may be especially important. That maybe is doing an awful lot of heavy lifting there. Despite the pretty underwhelming evidence, obviously probiotics are being sold for inflammatory arthritis. Last section, probiotic side effects and harms. The probiotics arm of the supplements industry seems as premature as anything I've ever seen in this business. It's a commercial empire very rapidly grown from one seed of truth. It's an obvious gold rush to sell probiotics to consumers for every imaginable condition, and we all know that gold rushes can get a bit ruthless and fuel all kinds of shenanigans. It's problematic even if we assume that the products all contain what they say they contain, which hardly seems like a safe bet in that barely regulated industry. Remember that these are bacteria, and that means they can grow out of control and become an infection like any other organism. It's not likely, but it is possible. And bacteria also poop chemicals, chemicals that may be toxic or just kind of biochemically random. Your microbiome is basically a drug factory. Bacteria produce all kinds of compounds, and that is a major reason why it's relevant to our general health. But that sort obviously has another edge. Infusions of various common gut bacteria are unlikely to be a serious problem. And fortunately, there's no known public health disaster unfolding over probiotics. But on the other hand, the supplements industry is also hard at work innovating. quote unquote, and producing new products with new claims, and quality control could slip. Harm from probiotics seems quite unlikely to me, but equally significant benefit also seems unlikely. I don't see any specific scientific reason to think they're going to be useful for patients with any kind of chronic pain other than irritable bowel syndrome. But I can also see good scientific reasons for some patients, basically the desperate ones, to experiment cautiously, ideally with simpler products that have been around for a while from well-known brands. Choosing well-known brands is a good strategy here because generally they have more to lose from a product disaster and are more likely to be on top of their quality control. And there's another typo, literally the last character of the document. So that's it for today's post. As always, I am under no illusions that it's complete. All knowledge is provisional. Please send me your thoughts and especially your anecdotes, which are always of interest, even if they obviously don't constitute good evidence. I want to hear the stories. Have you or your patients experimented with probiotics for pain, and how's that worked out?